Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ellie for Christians on Campus, and this week we continue our Bible study on the common faith. We come to item number 6, and the topic of this week's message is Christ ascended to the right hand of God to be Lord of all. Let us have a quick review of what we have discussed in the previous Bible studies since the beginning of this semester. We talked about the Bible and how it is a complete divine revelation inspired by God, word by word through the Holy Spirit. Then we talked about the triune God, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are three in one. We talked about Christ's incarnation, how the Son of God, even God himself, became a man. Christ's crucifixion, how Christ died for our sins, shedding his blood for our redemption, and Christ's resurrection, how Christ resurrected from among the dead. Now we come to the topic for this Bible study. In the middle of this heated election season, what we desperately need is to see the ascended Christ. Therefore, this week, we come to another item of the common faith, Christ's ascension. We want you to see Christ's ascension in two parts. We'll answer the question, what does it mean that he ascended? Then, we'll explore how in his ascension, he was inaugurated into a number of great offices. What does this all mean? Don't worry. We'll take a careful look at these two parts and at what these great offices are, one by one. This week's key verses are John 20:17 and Acts 1:9. John 20:17 says, Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Acts 1:9 says, "And when he had said these things while they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him away from their sight." Here's Daniel with more.
We have a story for you today. We hope that you can not only know Jesus Christ more, but we hope that you can even experience him. That is, you can touch him. You can know him personally in a first-hand kind of a way. This one, as you may have heard from our recent Bible studies, is God who became a man just like you and me. And he lived a human life, and then he went to the cross to die for our sins. If we have sins, we have to see that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. And when we believe in him and we confess our sins, he takes our sins away from us. And he redeems us. That is, he brings us back to himself, back to God. Because of sins, we were far away from God. But by taking care of the problem of sins on the cross, we come back to God. And he didn't just die on the cross, he resurrected on the third day. In his resurrection, we saw in recent Bible studies, he became a life-giving spirit. So now he's in the form of the Spirit to get into us. Not only did he take care of all our problems, but he said, "I want to be your life. I want to come live inside of you." This is Jesus Christ. And not only so, you may have received him already, but we want you to know what he's like. We want you to know what he does, who he is, because if you see who this one is It'll affect your life. You will see everything differently. We hope this for the people of our community. We hope this for the people on the campus, even for the administration of the campus, even the administration in the governments and in the highest governments. We just hope that they would see Christ, because when we see Christ, it affects us and we see everything differently. So I'm going to focus in now on that morning of Christ's resurrection. He was crucified on Friday. Saturday was a Sabbath day. And on what you might say is Sunday, we like to say the Lord's Day, he resurrected. There was one seeker that came looking for him that morning and couldn't find him, and she was weeping, because she saw that his body was no longer where they had put it. And so I come to read to you from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And I'm going to start from verse 14, and I'll pause in certain parts. When she said these things, she turned backward and beheld Jesus standing there, yet she did not know that it was Jesus. So that means Jesus appeared to someone. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing that he was the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." This is verse 17. Jesus tells Mary that he has not yet ascended to the Father. This is his secret ascension. That morning on the Lord's Day, he ascended secretly to the Father. I will read you a footnote from the Recovery Version of the Bible on this verse 17 of John chapter 20. It's very enlightening. Listen to this. On the day of his resurrection, the Lord ascended to the Father. This was a secret ascension, the ultimate fulfillment of the going predicted in John chapter 16, verse 7. He told the disciples that he was going. It occurred 40 days prior to his public ascension. So the ascension of Christ has these two parts, the secret ascension to the Father and the public ascension that everyone saw. His public ascension, which took place before the eyes of the disciples. You could see that in Acts 1:9, which we read. On the day of resurrection, early in the morning, he ascended to satisfy the Father, and late in the evening, that same day, he returned to his disciples. We saw this in a previous Bible study. The freshness of his resurrection must be first for the Father's enjoyment, as in the type of the first fruits of the harvest, which were brought first to God. This is referring to something in the Old Testament. The children of Israel brought the harvest as an offering, but the first fruits of the harvest, that is, the very first reapings, the very first thing from the harvest, was offered to God first for God's satisfaction. This was what Christ was doing in ascending first to the Father secretly. Well, in Acts 1:9, which is 40 days later, he ascended publicly with all watching. He literally rose up from them up, and the clouds took him away. This Christ, that day of his resurrection, that Lord's Day in the evening, you recall, he went to the disciples and he breathed into them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, we want to see now, what are the offices of the ascended Christ? Do you understand what we're even talking about, the offices of the ascended Christ. Today, Christ is in ascension and holds a number of great offices. How do you understand this word offices? Well, when we speak of offices, we are taking the meaning to be the various statuses, roles, and responsibilities of one person. Here's an example. Someone may wear three different hats. For example, they may be a father at home. Then as they go to work, they may be a doctor during the day at a hospital. And finally, they may go to a university at night to teach a course as a professor there. This person has at least three statuses. When we speak of the offices of the ascended Christ, we mean to point out all the statuses of Christ. That is, all the hats that he wears in his ascension. And for us, knowing that a man is an experienced father, doctor, or professor actually impacts how we interact with him and even why we go to him. In the same way, our knowing the number of great offices of Christ in his ascension helps us know today, not in a historical way, his ascension and what happened to him 2,000 years ago, but helps us know today, when should we go to him? Why should we go to him and how we can relate to him?
That was very helpful. Now we come to the point that in ascension, Christ was officially inaugurated as the Christ. Acts 2:36 says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified." This verse was said by Peter on the day of Pentecost, which was the 50th day from the Lord's resurrection. Not until his ascension was Christ officially inaugurated as the Christ. What does that mean? Was he not Christ before his ascension? Yes, even in eternity he was Christ. However, as we see in this verse, he was not officially inaugurated as the Christ until his ascension. In his inauguration, this wonderful Christ was enthroned. He has passed through the manger, through the River Jordan, and the cross, and is now enthroned in the heavens as the Christ. Our Christ did not end with the crucifixion. He is enthroned. We have already seen where Christ went after his resurrection and ascension, into us, into the human spirit of all the believers. Therefore, in our spirit, there is this throne. The one in our spirit is not lying in a manger nor hanging on the cross, but he is seated on the throne. It is this enthroned Christ that we must experience. As you receive this material right now, consider, what can you do to experience the enthroned Christ and practically enthrone him more in your being? Now we come to the point that in Christ's ascension, Christ was made Lord. Let us bring our attention once again to Acts 2:36, which says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified." Acts 2:36 tells us that he was made Lord. Yes, he was also Lord before his ascension. But again, he was not yet inaugurated into this office. One of the Old Testament names for God is Lord, in Hebrew, Adonai, meaning master. Christ in the Old Testament was Adonai. Then he became a man, a despised Nazarene. This very one was Lord, even while he was on this earth as such a despised Nazarene. But it was not until his ascension that he was inaugurated into his lordship. Acts 10:36 says, "The word which he sent to the sons of Israel in announcing the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, this one is Lord of all." When Peter said, "He is Lord of all," in the house of Cornelius, he meant that he was Lord of all peoples, both Jews and Gentiles, and of all things. Today, there is not only God on the throne, but a man is on the throne, who in his ascension was inaugurated as Lord of all. He is your Lord, and he is also my Lord. Let's tell him, "You are my Lord." We come to the next point, that in ascension, Christ was made the leader, author, and captain. Acts 5:31 says, "This one God has exalted to his right hand as leader and savior." In the New Testament, the word leader has the thought that this one is the origin and the originator, the author, the leader, and the inaugurator. He is therefore above all, and spontaneously is the ruler with authority. Acts 3:15 says, "And the author of life you killed, whom God has raised from the dead, of which we are witness." This verse calls him the author of life. Hebrews 2:10 says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in leading many sons into glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings." In Hebrews 2:10, the word author can also be translated captain. Christ in ascension is the captain of our salvation, leading us into glory where he has already entered as a pioneer. Again, the thought is included that he is the originator, the leader, or the forerunner of faith. To be our source of faith and to lead us in the pathway of faith are functions of the office into which he has been inaugurated. How rich is this Christ in ascension? He has taken office as the origin, the originator, the ruler, the author, the leader, the captain, the pioneer, and the forerunner. He is far above all. He is the first. All things and all power are in his hands. We come to our final point, that in ascension, Christ was made the ruler of the kings of the earth. Revelation 1:5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." This verse tells us that Christ is also called the ruler of the kings of the earth. It is common to call Jesus the King of Kings, but to call him the ruler of kings is to say that he is far above the earthly rulers. Yes, pray during the elections, but when the results come in, don't forget. Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Pray for all governors and people in high positions that they would even see and follow the real ruler, Jesus Christ.